Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Can we just pray in the Spirit in a few seconds? Just pray in the Spirit.
There is no one, no one holy as our God on the earth and in the heavens, there above. There is no one, no one holy as our God. There is no one holy as a God. There is no one, no name holy as a God on the earth and in the heavens there above. There is no one, no name holy as a God. There is no one holy as a God. There is no one, no name holy as a God on the earth and in the heavens. Oh, there is no one, no name holy as a God. There is no one holy as a God. There is no one, no one holy as a God on the earth and in the heavens there above. There is no one, no one holy as a God. There is no one holy as a God. There is no one, no one holy as a God on the earth, in the heavens there above. There is no one, no name only as a God. There is no one holy as a God.
Rabakashu blagadia bragadia kapala kapa papa 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 Rabba. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Heaven bow before you. Angels bow before your throne. Oh. You casting off their golden crown, and we cry, holy, holy, worthy is the Lamb of God that was slain. We are redeemed, and every tribe will praise our King. And we said, who is like unto you? Who is like unto you? The Lion, still the Lamb. Word of the Father, forever you remain. Barakabasha, the same. Your Lord is still the Lamb. The word of the Father, forever you remain. Sharababababa, the same. Who is like unto you? Who is like unto you? The Lion, still the Lamb. Word of the Father, forever you remain. Holy, holy, worthy is the Lamb of God that was slain. By your blood we are redeemed, and every tribe will praise our King. And they'll sing. Heaven bow before you, angels cry before your throne. Oh, oh, all the sins are for you, casting off the golden crown. And we sing, who is like unto you? Lord, who is like unto you? You're the Lion, still the Lamb. Word of the Father, forever you remain. The same, forever you remain. The same. Put on a praise, somebody. Bless the name of the Lord. Give him praise.
you, Holy Spirit.
Blessings and honor to Jesus, the Lion. Glory and power forever. Amen. Blessings and honor to Jesus, the Lion. Glory and power forever. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's get into the word. Hallelujah. We'll just be talking and I'll give you the topic. I came here more with a burden. Amen. So I prepared a sermon, but there's a burden in my heart. So I'm being careful on what to tag the sermon as. Hallelujah. On Sunday, if you observe, I think in the first service through the second service, I began speaking about some happenings, and I use Romans 8:19, and I use verse 21. You know, the Bible said in Romans 8:19, it says the earnest expectation of creation awaits the manifestation of the sons of God. And in verse 21, it says that the word manifestation there in Greek is the word revealing also. The substitute for that word can be the word revealing. Are we together? And if you look at verse 21, it says, it said, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into what? The glorious liberty of the children of God. So you see, there's a connection between 19. 19 says manifestation of the sons. 21 says the sons are going to deliver creation via their glorious word, liberty. That means manifestation of sonship is somehow believers going beyond every form of limitation in their lives. Are we together? By the reason of what Jesus has attained on Calvary. So God is saying, see what it says, a manifestation. Other versions say revealing. You know, and while we're reading, was it 1 John 3? Let's see it, 1 John 3. From verse, is it verse 1? Yes. In the NKJV. Can we read together? It says, behold, what manner. Can we read together? Don't look at me. One, two, go. That we should be called children. Alright, so if they must understand us as children of God, it is because they should have understood God Almighty. Are we together? In other words, God is saying what it means for you to be a son of the living God is that you are like God. Are we together? Say, I'm like God. Say, I'm like God. In the beginning, he said, I've created you in my image and likeness. But religion isn't comfortable saying this, but you have to say it anyways. Say, I'm like God. That's what he said about you in Genesis. Are we together? Yes. Now, let's read verse 2 together. Everybody, verse 2. It says, beloved, now. I feel, hey, stop. Many people are talking dead, like cops.
Let's speak out. Some are not even talking at all. That doesn't make you a spiritual Christian. You know, if you don't know how to talk as a child of God, you'll be dumb spiritually and physically. Your life will be retarded. You, instead of going forward, you'll be going backward. Let me briefly show you the power of words. Many of you don't understand the power of words. That's why you just do things anyhow. Are we together? Listen carefully. You are not spiritual because you don't talk. You are just ignorant. When they say talk in church, read, read. You know, not just read the word of God. When they say pray, pray. There's something, you know, whenever we are gathered, the Bible says God is there. If we are gathered in His purpose, isn't it? He said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, He said, I am what? I'm there. That means God determines the flow of the meeting. Are we together? It determines the flow from the prayer, through the worship, through the confession of the word, through the testimony. You have to be attentive. You know, God could minister to you through testimonies. If you are very attentive. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Immediately you gather. God is not there because the word of God is going forth yet. He's there because you people are gathered yet. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Immediately you start praying, God is there. He's active. Through every bit of the service. And that's why I always warn, especially leaders. Sometimes you are tempted to think that you have arrived because you are a leader. So during the prayer, maybe somebody who will even lead in the prayer, it's not up to your stature in leadership. You may be tempted not to pray. Yeah, it's natural. You'll be tempted not to pray. You know, naturally, if you are in an office, are we together? If you are in an office and you have somebody you are superior to in position, if the person is doing something, there's a way you look at the person. Now it's so much glory. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? You are in the off, you are in school, and maybe the lecturer is seated and the student is teaching. Even if the student is making so much sense, the lecturer will not want to behave like the student is making so much sense. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But in church setting, it's not like that. Whenever somebody comes to the podium and takes the mic, the Holy Ghost determines whatever he's saying. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? So when they are leading the prayer, know that it is the Holy Ghost. When He say pray for so-so thing, don't pray for another thing. Some people are like that. So let's begin to pray for the service that the word of God will be rich, blah, blah, blah. And you see the person just, you know, sometimes, many years ago, my spiritual father, he watches us when we're in a meeting. If you just put your hands like this, he will send somebody to go and call you to come. And he will ask you, why is your hand in your pocket? I mean, they are praying, you know, those days, I did it too. Because I saw people doing it. Until I was corrected. Why people are leading prayers? You see, some of us just were ahead, labor, head, but we are the big boys. We have entered the third heavens. And he warned us against it. You know, I saw him doing worship. People he had taught the world, leading worship. And he would kneel down or sit down, be crying. Sometimes he would lie down on the ground. We learned all of those things through him. You know, those days, because of foolishness, you see some of us, and it happens with a lot of people today, they are worshipping and they are analyzing the worship. They are even wondering whether it's in the spirit or it's in the flesh. Now, it's not even your business. Whether it was in the spirit or in the flesh. It's not your business. Is it time to worship? What should you do? Worship God. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? I hope you know that even if it's a sinner that is leading worship, as long as he takes the mic, the Holy Spirit will flow through him. It's a big mystery. Let me do the mass for you. He said, on that day, I will say many, he said, I will tell, I'll say, get away from me, you what, sinners, for I never knew you. He said, although they will say, I what? I healed in your name, I prophesied in your name, and I what? Cast out devils. Then he would tell the same people who casted out devils and prophesied in his name to do what? Get away from him. Because he never knew them. Yet because of the liberty in grace, in the name of Jesus, they could have done those things. They would have been able to do those things. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? They were able to do it. What am I trying to say in essence? That when they casted out devils, they truly casted out devils. When they prophesied, they truly what? Prophesied. The Holy Spirit used them. Just like he didn't mind using a donkey. But But does that mean that that's the finality of how things should be? No. Because the Bible says where there's sin, grace abides even more. But what's the vocal point here? That if anybody's up here with the mic, the Holy Spirit will use that person, whether it's a sinner or the righteous. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Now, you wouldn't mind whether it's a sinner or the righteous, because he's flowing at that point through that person, and your own business is to receive. At that point, your own business is what? To receive. It's a deep mystery. You know, sometimes some people think they've gone into some spiritual height, and when people are worshiping, they're analyzing them. A lot of times when I hear people do things, I find it difficult to pass the message to another people that so-so person did something, because people don't know how to forgive. They don't know how to forgive. They will pass the message everywhere. And you never can tell the destiny of somebody by a particular sin. It's not true. You truly cannot. You can't tell the destiny of a person because of a particular sin. Are you all listening to me? It's a deep mystery. It is too good to be true. But this is the gospel. The Bible says to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting what? Their sins against them. He said that he has given to us the same ministry of what? Reconciliation. Many Christians are suffering because they have a wrong view of what consecration should even mean. A very wrong view of consecration. Like I saw somebody jokingly, I wish he was speaking from the bodies of the spirit. Very nice post, but I wish he was not mocking, because you can say the truth mocking and it will not produce any glory. You know, if you are saying the truth, don't be saying it because you want to mock somebody. Are we together? Say it because you want to what? Save somebody. And he said something so beautiful. He said, the Holy Spirit said, I will never leave nor forsake you. He said, but people are singing in worship today that, Holy Spirit, please don't leave me. And that's something nice. That's true. You know, somebody singing, Holy Spirit, don't leave me, would think he's more consecrated than somebody saying, I know you'll never leave me and I know you'll never forsake me. He will feel like the person saying, I know you'll never leave me and forsake me, he's being proud. But no, the person singing, I know you'll never leave nor forsake me, is only resounding what God has said to him. Confession is not saying your infirmities. Confession is saying what God says about you. The root word in Greek is called homologio. Homo means the same. Logio means same speaking. Speaking the same thing. If God says you are above and you say I'm beneath, you are not righteous. You are ignorant. If God says you are the chosen and you say I feel like I'm a castaway, you are not wise. That doesn't make you more stronger in relationship with him. You are just being what? Ignorant. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Hallelujah to Jesus. And that's what has kept many Christians frustrated. Many Christians. I was doing something on Sunday for you people. I was inspired of that teaching by the man of God, Watchman Nee, of blessed memory. He tagged the teaching, sit, walk, and stand. And I summarized it into what? Sitting and standing. I said to you guys, draw an inspiration for what he said. The Bible first says we are seated together with Christ. That's how Paul began speaking to the Ephesian church. When he began to touch, after greeting them in chapter 1, he got to chapter 2 to usher them into what Jesus has done. He started by saying, know that we are seated together. I think that's verse 6. He said we are seated together with what? Christ. The Christian walk of faith starts with resting in what Jesus has done. Not fighting, not trying to walk in it yet. Just rest. Don't try to live in perfection. Rest in what Jesus has done. Rest in it. Are you listening to me? Rest in it. That desire to want to do. If you have not rested in what Jesus has done yet, you'll be frustrated. Because the Bible said, a desire deferred makes the heart sick. It's a desire that is deferred, meaning a desire, somebody wants to go like this and he's altered. He couldn't go that path. It's a, it makes the heart sick. You wanted 20,000, you were expecting 20,000. You don't get 20,000, you get sick. Because you were expecting something and it didn't come. So you are now disappointed. Is it a heart seek? A desire of the Father is that maketh the heart seek. Meaning you were expecting to walk in holiness, all of a sudden you just want to start walking in holiness, and all of a sudden the devil hits you down. You feel sick. You become a sick Christian. And you begin to say funny things. When you hear sick Christian talk, you can tell. Just that some of them, they cover with love tongues, so some of you are not aware. Who is a sick Christian? A sick Christian thinks that the Holy Spirit will leave him because of sin. So you see him crying. And he's crying. If you check deeply, he's crying from because of guilt. Now, we're not saying he's not sincere. In the flesh, he's sincere. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Because he saw his sin and he's crying according to his sin. He's sincere. But even though he's sincere, sincerity is not enough. The Bible said in Romans 10, verse 2, he said, they being ignorant of God's righteousness have created for themselves another righteousness. He said, I bear witness, Paul speaking. He said, they have a desire for God. He said, but not according to knowledge. You see, you can have a desire for God not according to knowledge. I know of somebody years ago that did a particular sin and said he sinned against the Holy Spirit. So he said the sin against the Holy Spirit cannot be forgiven. So he ran mad physically years ago. They had to catch the guy and pray for him to recover the sanity of his mind. Because he felt like he has done the unpardonable sin. So he gave up and was behaving like he was mental. Literally. Why? Because of ignorance. What is a sin against the Holy Spirit? It's not that you look at the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, you are stupid. That's not a sin against the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if you sin against the Father or the Son, you'll be forgiven. But against the Holy Spirit, you will not. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is the last ministry of God on the earth. That means now we're in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. God on the earth right now, he's been manifested as who? The Holy Spirit. If you neglect the ministry of the Lord today on the earth, you will never have any ministry of God Almighty on the earth. So there's no forgiveness for you. So now that he's walking on the earth, receive him. And this is the greatest ministry of God on the earth. Pastor Benihim will say this is God, the Holy Spirit's ministry is God in gaseous form. He can do a lot of things. He can be everywhere at the same time. Are you listening to me? So at every point of service, be very observant. And that's why you should work on coming to service late. Never try that. If you have that character, stop it. You know, sometimes you frustrate your HOD. Say, stop coming to church late. You make him look. So why do you even come late? You were actually sewing your clothes. You were actually trying to sew your shoe. You were actually trying to iron something. And that's why you came late. Meanwhile, God was waiting for you. Oh my goodness. Literally see this thing. God was seated waiting for you. You came late. God forced you to come to church. This is the same person crying in the night. God, please. That business money, and you don't respect God. And when you are being scolded, you are angry. You are angry for being scolded. Hey, Pastor Peter too is shouting too much. He's shouting too much. No, you didn't tell him. You said it where he was not seen, but God was hearing you. Did you read what the Bible said in the Old Testament in Genesis? Was it Genesis or Numbers? The Bible said, Miriam, the eldest sister, or elder sister of Moses, when the children of Israelite were scared of talking to Moses because he was a leader, the Bible said, Miriam said, don't mind Moses. I'm going to talk to Moses. Of course, you know why. She's the elder sister. Wasn't she? Huh? The Bible said, when they finished discussing with Aaron and other people, the Bible said, and God heard them. Moses was not there before they started receiving the penalty for talking against Moses. Moses was not even aware that something was going down on his head. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? He was somewhere with God. Somewhere in the presence of God. But they were talking. And God was hearing. The Bible said that God came down to meet them in the discussion. Not far. In the discussion, he came there. And what did he say? And the Bible said he called them and said, You did not fear. Do you remember that scripture? He said, how could you not fear to talk against my servant Moses? How did you not fear? He asked his elder sister, how did you not fear? He asked them, how did you not fear? Somebody said, but pastors are nothing. We are all human beings. God gave them that authority. Are you listening to me? They didn't give themselves. It is God Almighty. Even if you feel they are not qualified, that is why you are not even the pastor, because you think you are not qualified. That's one of the things that have disqualified you, because you now know who is qualified and who is not. And that's what the Bible calls the pride of life. That you look at a man of God, that you look at a pastor, and you can tell the things wrong with the pastor that makes him unqualified of being a pastor. That is why God did not choose you. Because you are full of pride. And listen, there's a penalty to that. You can't disrespect God and just go like, there's a penalty to that. Even though, I wish I can get this into your mind so strong. There's a way I would have said it. Because talking against, now, the Bible says, this is not where I'm driving at, but you will learn something. It said, touch not my anointed. Then what did he say at the end? He said, and do my prophet no harm. In other words, when you disobey the word of the Lord, what have you done? You've broken what? The edge. And what would the enemy do? He'll strike. That was what happened with. Sometimes when people come crying that people are making progress, but they don't understand their life. 2024 was just one kind. 2025, they are not understanding how it's going. Check your life. Check your life. The same attitude you had in 2024, what truly changed about your life in 2025? What has changed? The way you talk has not changed. The way you behave has not changed. Why do you think your results should change? Check your life. Your attitude towards things have not changed. You are still a latecomer. You still misbehave. You still talk anyhow. Because many of you don't realize that what the Bible calls all of us, it says we are all lively stones. What it means is that we are living blocks. You know blocks they used to build house? It says we are blocks that are alive. In other words, God is using all of us to build up his kingdom on the earth. Because the kingdom of God is not a building. It is people. It is people. He said we will be the ones to be formed into his kingdom. That's Revelation 1 and 5 in the Amplified Rendition. You can put it up. It said, by his blood we are washed to the end that we are formed into what? A kingdom. It said, then praise unto our God. It's freed us from sin, verse 6. It said, then he had formed us into what? A kingdom. You see that? So whenever Satan wants to distort the plan of God, he gets you confused. He gets you to start misbehaving. You are a high target for the devil. I showed you something the Lord showed me many years ago. I had a vision. And in the vision, I was in a company of demons. They were so plenty. I couldn't see their end. They were like, this. I was here. I couldn't see the end of the demons. I was in 200 level while I was a student in. I couldn't see the end of the demons. And I got scared, in all honesty. And I couldn't sleep again. It was early morning, like 4, 5 a.m. I couldn't sleep. And I stood up till everybody was awake. And I was praying while I was awake. I said, Lord, what is the meaning of this vision? A lot of demons. Then how will I live my life? There are so many. And the Lord started by telling me, this is how much Satan wants you on the ground. I said, this is everything Satan has deployed for just me. I looked at myself. I said, just me? I think I'm too small for this kind of demons. Maybe he would have put 100. But I couldn't see the end. Then he comforted me with this word. He said, I'll build my church and what? the gates of hell will not prevail. He said, as long as you know Christ, he said, the gates of hell will not prevail. He said, be mindless about the gate of hell. The gate of hell, gate in old days simply means what? Strength. The gates of a city in those days represent her strength. Are we together? So when the Bible said the gate of hell, means the whole strength of hell will not prevail against one on Christ. Are we together? Are you listening to me? Then he now told me again, you know, I was talking with a young man yesterday. He's from Christ Embassy. And when I was driving, as I saw him in a particular building in town, I stopped. So I came to him, I said, hello, do you know Pastor Chris? He said, yes, I'm from Christ Embassy. He was not happy. I said, how did you know me? I said, well, pastor. He said, no, I'm not a pastor, yes, sir. I'm a brother. I said, okay. Then I left that discussion. I said, is pastor available? He said, no, not today. He just left, but I'll book an appointment. I wanted to see the pastor, the senior pastor in town. So I said, okay, book an appointment for me. So while I was going, he now said, he looked at me and said, are you Prophet Sam? I said, yes. Oh, I've been listening to your messages, blah, blah, blah. I've sworn into church, blah, 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 blah. I said, okay, pastor. He said, no, sir, I'm not pastor. I said, okay. But if God calls you to be a pastor, is it by saying, no, sir. Sir, you know Christ Embassy, I guess. If I'm a pastor here, I will not rest. All my life will be for God. I must live for God. And I'm not sure I can do that now. From what I'm seeing in myself, I don't feel qualified. I was so happy. I heard those words from me. I said, these are the kind of people God is looking for. I said, this is a proof that God will use you because you are not qualified in your own eyes. I said, so God will use you, but I see the grace of a pastor upon you. And I'm sure your pastor will pick it soon and make you a pastor. Maybe he has already known. So I was still praying. I said, sir, please. But I said, don't worry. So while we're going, I told him, I said, remember, was it Gideon? He was, you know, his city was suffering captivity. The enemies came and they took charge of almost everything. And that man was in the farm. He was in the farm plugging maybe tomatoes or something. His city was under cap. I mean, they were dealing with those folks. And the man was in the farm. You will not know why being in the farm was so funny. An angel came to save that city. And they didn't go to anybody else but Gideon. When they went to him, see how the angel introduced Gideon, himself to Gideon. He said, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon, probably is back to look for who they are calling a mighty man of valor. He couldn't believe that he was the one that God Almighty sent an angel to come and call him by that name. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? He couldn't believe it. So I told him the story. I said, even Samuel, we can use Samuel. The Bible said there was a time Samuel, you know, not even Samuel being a prophet, I mean Samuel ordaining King Saul. When he went to ordain King Saul as king, King Saul felt so bad. You know why he felt so bad? He said he was too small to be called king. He was so little. Would have not known that until Samuel said that. Samuel was addressing him at the time. He disobeyed the Lord. Samuel the prophet said, so things should not happen. And Samuel came late. You don't want to be the prophet, right? The Holy Spirit can just tell them to wait a little bit while they're about to step out. So don't be offended. Because if you're offended and do what is in your mind, you end up like Saul. And Saul got offended. King was waiting for a man in the city with the entire kingdom. Samuel has not gone. Okay, we skip it. So how about now? 2 hours has passed. King said, see, you should just do what is in my heart. Just move, everybody move. And Samuel came and said, what have you done? We said, we're waiting for you. In other words, let me say it literally. You came late. If you were here, you would have decided earlier. He said, so I felt like we should just do this and do. He said, you did that. He said, the Lord told you to do this and that you should wait for me before it begins, and you did the other way around. Then someone said this word. He said, you who consider yourself little in the eyes of even yourself when the Lord called you to be king. That's the point. We want to take the point in the positive. Are we together? So sometimes when God calls you, you don't even feel qualified. Like me now, I saw a multitude of demons. I couldn't see their end. And I didn't believe that it was for me. These demons, that's why I was scared that day. That all of these demons are just for one little young man. Then as I went far in my faith walk with the Lord, I saw where Paul said, because of the abundance of light that was given to me, is that the devil placed a thorn on my flesh. You are saying, I know who God says that I am. Bought with a price. You are excited, shining your tail in church. The devil is watching. He doesn't want you to enter into all of these things you are saying. Are you able to get what I'm trying to explain to you? Hey, are you here?
Yes, sir.
He doesn't want you. He will get you frustrated. I showed you in Matthew 13, isn't it? The parable of the seed, the sower. How that some fell on rocky grounds and diverse kind of ground, which represent the heart. Why were the birds of the air gathered? Because of the seed. Remove the seed from the picture, there is no story. If you just remove the seed in that story, there will be no story. And the reason for all of those drama in Matthew 13 was because of the seed of God's word. The thorns on the ground that grew to choke the seed came because of the seed that was on the ground. If there was no seed in that particular ground, the thorns wouldn't have come. And we saw somewhere in a part of this scripture, the Bible said, because of the word in us, it said the devil will cause what? Tribulations and trials around our life. He will cause it. Because of the word. You don't even know how important you are. You are very important to God. Because of his word in your spirit. I can't tell you enough. I have more than hundreds of examples to cite for you personally from my life, how much I know the devil has dead. I can tell you. And who told you that he has stopped? He's still somewhere far around wondering if there will be hope someday. Are you listening to me? Why? Because of the word of God in your spirit. This is a young man glowing in the fire of the Holy Spirit. Seeing the nations tied to the destiny of that young man, you think the devil will allow that young man to just shine? No! He knows if he gets that young man, he has gotten a generation down. Are you listening to me? God forbid, but that tomorrow you heard that I don't preach the word of God again. You may say, I'll just go to another church. Before you know it, you begin to see yourself saying things like, if Prophet Simon couldn't do it, why do I think I can do it? Prophet quotes the Bible of heart. Prophet has done this. He has prayed for several people. Prophet blah blah blah. You think of all the miracles. Think of all the teachings. Think of all the revelations. And you say, I don't think I can do it. Are you listening to me? And that's why if you observe, when somebody brings another person to church, see the trick of the devil. He likes people in high positions. If the devil wants to start in this church now, he doesn't start with everybody seated. He comes from the leadership. Because if he gets a leader down, he's getting a lot of people tied to that leader. Let me start with when somebody brings somebody else to church. Imagine the person that brings you to church says he's out from the church. He doesn't believe in the vision of the church anymore. You know why pastors get a little bit tense? Not necessarily afraid, because they know what the devil will do. He will take opportunity of that event and steer the heart of other people to see that it is not what it's been there. Are you able to get what I'm saying? Because the person that brought me here has gone. Why should I be here? That's what happens in the heart of many people. when somebody who is very relevant in leadership leads an assembly. The Bible says, strike the shepherd, and what will happen with the sheep? He said, they will all be what? Scattered. Are you guys listening to me? Don't joke with destiny. The devil has deployed all of his soldiers. All for one. Just one person seated here. He has deployed everything he has in hell. Everything. No one thing is left in hell. Now, I'm not saying it so that you get scared or feel more serious. It's the word of God that should make you serious and determine your emotion. Are you listening to me? He said, you should be excited because of my word spoken to you. Satan should not get you into prayer room. It is the word that should get you into prayer room. Did you get what I just said? You heard that your mother is sick. If you just enter the prayer room crying, she may still die on that bed. You begin to think the word of God. As you are thinking God's word should take into your prayer closet. And by the word of God, Paul speaking to Timothy, he said, remember the words that have been spoken over you from time past. He said, by them wage a good fight of faith. By them wage what? A good fight of faith. Meaning God's word is what you use to war in the spirit. That's why the Bible likens the word of God to the sword of the spirit. And you use sword to fight. Sword is an offensive instrument, not defensive. Well, it can be defensive too, isn't it? But majorly, what is the defensive? Breastplate of righteousness. Isn't it? Shield of faith, yeah. But the sword is more on the offensive. You want to attack. So the word of God is called what? The sword of the spirit. You win. When you are fighting in prayer, you are using the word of God. Are you people getting on trying to explain to you? You are using the word of God. Not fear in your heart. It's terrible to fight by fear. You will lose. Are you here? Let me show you how Job lose because of fear. Many of you may have not seen this, but it's in the Bible. Let's see Job 25 and 26. Job 3, 25 and 26. It says, for the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. Who is speaking? Job. Next part of scripture. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for troubles come. Oh, are you here? Let me just let this out. See what the Bible says about words. Let's see James 3:2 before we continue. James 3 and 2. Notice what Paul said. He said, I was not quiet about it. He said, for we all stumble in many things. But he said, but if anyone does not stumble in word, he is what? Perfect. He's a perfect man. Able also to bridle the whole body. You see that? That he said, we can stumble in many things. But how to make sure you don't even stumble in many things at the end is that you don't stumble in your words. That if you can control your words, you can control your life, your whole body. Are you seeing that? Are you here? First Peter 3 and 10. So for he who will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from what? Speaking deceit. Can we read together? Everybody want to go? Beautiful. If you want to see wonderful days, days without sin in your life, days without lack in your life, days without without suffering in your life is that you must refrain your tongue from evil. Someone say, but Pastor Simon, what is evil? What is evil? Can you remember the book of Numbers 13:32 that the Bible said they came back with an evil report? Can you remember? Let's see it. 13:32. And I want everybody to read. One, two, go. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land... In the old KJV, the same part of scripture. I want that evil report to show. One, two, go. What is the evil report saying? How is this an evil report? Did they say the truth? Ah, they didn't say truth. Yes, thank you. 1,000 for you. They said a fact. Not truth. Jesus is truth. You are above only, never been there. That's truth. I don't like what is happening in this church tonight. You are above only and not been there. That's truth. Yes, that's what the Bible says. You are a life-giving spirit. That's truth. You are not a sinner. That's truth. So I want to be sincere. I'm a sinner. I've sinned several times. No. Be sincere. You are the righteousness of God. Faith goes against hope. Bible says, Abraham who went against hope to believe. And God granted him righteousness for his faith. Against all hope he believed. What was the hope that died that Abraham believed against that hope? His wife had reached menopause. She would have not been able to give birth to a child naturally. He was so old, no ability to give birth to a child. He went against all of those hopes and believed God. And the Bible said it was counted for him for what? Righteousness. Not just that. Did he get that seed of promise? Yes, he got the seed. Are you here? It says the old body of sin has been destroyed. And people say, body no be firewood. When they begin to say that, body no be firewood. Then the next thing, they want to say, every man, blood they flow inside every man. That is why we feasting make. You say, no, I'm not part of those people. I'm not part of them. You must make sure you refuse. Are you listening to me? What did the Bible say about you? Is it that old man of sin? That old body, Romans 6 and 6. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified. The old, our old self, without the Holy Spirit, has been what? Nailed to the cross. With who? Him. Big him. Hate. Capital letter, hate. With Jesus. Why? In order that our body of sin might be what? Why? So that we will be what? No longer slaves, you see. Unbelievable. Someone is looking and wondering, why are you fighting what you are hearing now? Experience. The experience you've had. The Bible said this knowledge transcends beyond human experience. We don't care if you sinned yesterday. To hell with your experience. The word of God is your truth. You are not supposed to sin. The old body of sin has been destroyed. Why do you think for years some sort of few surviving? Some people are Christian over 30 years. Yet they will still be caught in one sin or another. Why? Were they not? If you go and check their preaching, it was consecration. In fact, some of Some of them didn't like to hear the word grace. They feel like the word grace would take people into error. But they still were sinners. They still were caught in terrible acts. Because by strength shall no man prevail. The ignorance of this has frustrated a lot of young people. There are people who sincerely don't want to venture into ministry because they see themselves doing things they don't want to do. They sincerely don't want to venture into ministry. They are subjected to sin. Subjected to the devil. We've had great names who went down all of a sudden because of sin. We've had. I've been preaching for a while now. I mean, we've had great prophets who went nowhere again because of sin. If I mention the name here, some of you will remember because you have even forgotten about them. They were doing fine till sin showed up. Ah! Bible says it will first knock on the door. But the capacity to say no is a problem. Are you listening? Let's read this in a TPT rendition. It says, could it be any clearer that our former identity is now and forever what? For we were co-crucified with him to what? So that we will not continue to live one moment longer submitted to sin's power. You see that? So I reign above sin. Now don't say it like you are careful. Say, I reign above sin. Don't be scared. Refuse to be scared. Read verse 14 of this rendition. Verse 14, want to go. Remember this. Continue, want to go. The reign of the grace of God. Now you live by God's ability. God's own ability. Glory forevermore. You see that? So now you homologio. You don't say, Lord, help me not to sin. No. He said, one moment you'll not be submitted to sin's power again. Because of what Jesus said. Now you have the right to create worship song around this revelation. I can never sin. Say it like that. The people, worldly folks, religious folks will not like it. Religious folks like to sing songs like, even if I sin, it doesn't matter. I can never sin one moment in my life. You see that? You see that? Create songs like that. And be happy. Be happy. Get excited with the songs. You say, are you sure you can leave a boss? You say, please come, let's go to the side. Let me answer. I don't want to answer in the public. You know why I called you to decide, should in case I sin tomorrow, let them not laugh at me. See, you are not even sure of tomorrow. Because you have seen yourself, promise God, oh, went back. You promise God, oh, you went back. So you say, now no shout. No, you don't understand grace. Sin has been defeated forevermore. There's no debate to that. I'm not scared of Satan. You know how many years people have prophesied my fall? Some of you knew me from campus. They prophesied my fall a long time ago. Some of them prophesied it, I didn't fall. Now they want to be my friends. You know, last week I was talking to some people and they said one guy that prophesied my fall many years ago. He has been on my Facebook for more than a year now. When he asked friends, I removed the friend. He asked again, I removed it. He's saying he must be my friend. Now this is the same person that told even people in this church not to come to this church because I was preaching heresy. And there were prophecies that I was going to go down. From 111. No, from Remedias. I've been preaching. And none of their church sisters say he looked at me and smiled so much. None of their church sisters. Someone said, Pastor, are you being proud? No, I'm not being proud. Not even my church ladies can say, there was a day he looked at me and said, seems I like you, but let's wait on the Lord and see. Never. 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 With the way he does his hair, never. You know, you can suspect me. Maybe you say the way he does his hair is so fine, so he can be that. He's doing it for girls. No, for God. Now that I'm married, am I not doing my hair? Before I got married, was I not doing my hair? After you get married, I will still do my hair. Because it's for God. It's not for you. You know, if you get married and your dressing reduce, you had a bad motif. A man, before he got married, he was looking very fine, arranging himself. When he got married, he just stopped arranging himself. His mission had been accomplished. Are you here? So we are seeing what the Bible calls saying what God doesn't say, and what? And what? Evil report. Are we together? So what did they say? They said, we went to that land God promised us. There were men so big that we were like grasshoppers before them. And when they were done, God said, that's what? An evil report. For saying what you saw there is an evil report. So is God saying they should lie? No. No, that's not what God is saying. Remember, Caleb said some words. He said, although the place is full of giants, although so-so and so are there. He said, but let's go at once, for God has surrounded them already with his armies, waiting for us to destroy. He saw God's provision. Think about Elisha. Amidst many soldiers. Are you here? Amidst many soldiers. Sometimes life can be like that. Amidst many soldiers who wanted to kill him. Yet he was not scared. No single fear in his life. And his servant said, Master, they are all over this camp. All over this place. The soldiers of the king are everywhere. They want you dead. Did Elisha start crying? Oh God, have mercy on me. Did he cry? What did he say? He said, I want to bring you into this realm of comfort and stability of faith. He touched the eye of his servant. His eyes were open. He began to see God's provision. The angels that were so much around them were so many. They are numbers. The soldiers that were everywhere in that cave. Around that cave. They have numbered them. Hey, God's provision is so mighty upon your life. Are you hearing me? Oh, glory to God. Now, there were so many demons that night. I had that vision. So many. But the Bible said the angels around me are so much that I can never number them. Guess what? No matter how those demons were many, the Bible told us that one third of the angels left heaven. One third. Meaning, all of those demons I saw, if Satan wants all of them to be around me to get me down, they were just one third. The rest percentage in heaven. With God Almighty, until we became born again. Now they are dispatched all around us. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It's that you have come into an innumerable multitude of angels. Innumerable multitudes. You can't see the end. So I thought there were many till I got this revelation. Angels are all around you. Are you listening to me? I told you the vision I had about a baby angel that hit me and said my fan is burning. A baby angel on campus. My fan was on fire. The light was so much it blew my fan and it started catching fire. And a baby angel tapped me and said, your fan is I was in a vision. I didn't even know whether I was in the spirit. I can't tell. But when I woke up, my fan was truly burning. And I just rushed and off the fire. You see how God loves us? And probably they were just in the realm of the spirit, and that baby angel. I didn't want to even use my mind to begin to understand what was happening there. I said, thank you, Holy Spirit. That's not the devil. Because if it's the devil, he will cause me to sleep more so that the fan will burn. And the whole house will be set on fire. In fact, you want me to be set on fire. Hallelujah to Jesus. The only time God causes you to sleep so much is when He wants to give you a wife, a life partner. He causes you to sleep because you are under duress, so much stress. You are thinking. So you say sleep, meaning forget about it. A deep sleep, remove your mind from it. That's when the wife will come. But if you are thinking, the man will not come. You will pick the wrong man. So get into a deep sleep. Tell your neighbor that. Good to go. Forget about that man, woman. God will bring them at the right time. Are you here? Evil report. So go back to 1 Peter. Let me try to end. You didn't believe, right? Not the facts. So I said facts. So where were we? He who loves his life and see good days, let him what? Refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from deceit. I don't like the flow here. 1, 2, 3, church. Give me the TPT rendition. Oh, so sharp. So brief. For scripture tells us, whoever wants to embrace true life and find beauty in each day, it has not finished. So. It's like you don't have the complete rendition. Okay, give me the Amplify. That your Bible. Okay. Okay, it continues in verse 11. Okay, no problem. Let's read. Must stop speaking evil, hurtful words, and what? Eagerly pursue peace. And you know why I want this scripture? Because it doesn't only talk about words. It said, firstly, it said, must stop speaking evil. Then everything goes down. Say hurtful words. And never deceive in what day. It's all about talking. Are you observing that? Always turn from what is wrong and cultivate what is. Eagerly pursue what? Peace. In every relation. You know, some of you now may go on. The pastor says we should convert. In the name of Jesus. I'm above. Blah, 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 blah. Then time for service. You say, in the name of Jesus. You haven't prayed. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Why did you come to our house praying? I forgot. You will not get it. You are doing the right thing at the wrong time. You know, if you don't have confidence as a pastor, you may be pastoring people and somebody said the reason why I missed church was because the Lord told me to miss church. I grew up in a place that I've heard that kind of excuse before. Those days in Kaduna, somebody would tell you that the Lord, I wanted to come to church, but the Lord said I should pray at home. Now there was a time some group of guys started something, you know, when the Lord hits you from the beginning, you feel like you are the one on top of the world. Until you stay with the Lord for a while, then you calm down and say, God, I know we are plenty. Let's get this thing done. Because you think you are the only prophet that's not bowed to bow until you grow into these things. And God will tell you there are many that are for me. You know, they felt like they were the only guys because they were in a room and praying and etc. And I remember his words. He said, God has left the church. He said, that's what God told him. So he will never go to a Sunday morning church because God is not there. And I showed my wife the video. I said, look at what this man is saying. He said, God has left the church. Before two years, he started a Sunday morning church. He started where God had left. The same man said, I will never do an all-night. He said, do an all-night in your family house with everybody. And I said, watch out. Before that year ended, he celebrated crossover service. So sometimes when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you think you have gone ahead of time. The zeal will not carry you, overwhelm you. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So a lot of times you need to calm down. Many people like that. Talking funny things. You know, one time I found some young people say, fathers have failed us. Fathers have failed us. Look at this one. Say, fathers have failed us. We have to rise. A new generation must rise. A generation that will say no to Baal. So which one said yes to Baal? So funny. If you are part of those people, you better calm down. It doesn't work like that. God wanted to call the prophet, a mighty prophet in Israel, Samuel. He said, go and stay under Eli. What was the relationship between a prophet and a priest? You didn't see it. God saw it. Because to be a very wonderful prophet, you must understand priesthood. It's true. He said, God called Eli, master, you called me. He went back to Eli, second time, third time, he went to Eli. Eli remembered. There's a call of God upon this one's life. The next time you hear those words, say, speak to me, Lord, your servant hears. But how did God call Samuel before he picked the call of God upon his life? He called him with the voice of Eli. So God will never want to use a new generation and forget the former generation. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? It doesn't work like that. Are you listening to me? They may not get it all right, but it doesn't mean that they're, you know, how many of you in your heart of heart can open your mouth and say, because Bishop Oyedepo or Padibwe don't know some of the things we know, then they are not called of the Lord? You must be sick. What they are preaching, the generation before them did not preach it entirely like that. Yes. Yes. Some of the things, Prophet Babalola, is it Prophet Baba or Apostle Babalola did, many people are not practicing today. Even the church are not doing exactly what he did today. The man went everywhere with a bell and a white robe. With a bell. How many of their church people go about with bells? They go about with suits today. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Does it mean that they don't respect the man? There are some things low-key they understand. No, it's not necessary. But they don't make it look like that person was an old school that meant nothing to God. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. There's some, my friend will say, sometimes you can be sincerely wrong. You can be sincerely wrong. Please listen carefully, because sometimes when I say generation, always talking against wrongs, my mind used to be like, you know, I was there. I told you the story I had, the experience I had in Kaduna. I woke up post, you know, the revelation was so hot that time. And one morning when I posted, the Holy Spirit said, why did you post? I never knew there was a why to post it. He asked me, why did you post this one now? So I went and read it again to understand why I posted it. There was truly no reason but to mock. I couldn't stop crying that morning. I deleted the post. And he said to me, be meek. When I check my dictionary for the word meekness, it means sometimes you know, but don't talk. Don't show you know. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Don't show. You know, I couldn't believe that I would be wrong. Many years ago, I told you the story. I was in a meeting with some of my brothers in the faith, and there was this young man outside the barracks who was a man of God, but somehow he turned into another thing we couldn't explain. So he started taking advantage of young ladies, and somehow one of our ladies in the church, in the fellowship, almost was a victim to him. Almost, she said. And you know, with what I now know, I'm even suspecting if the guy invited her, or she even just went to see the guy. Because after several years, we now saw some things that unfolded about that certain lady. Meanwhile, he had that character of taking advantage of ladies who had seen it firsthand. He tried it with even my sister. So I saw it firsthand. Hallelujah to Jesus. But I remember in the meeting, I got so offended at him, so offended, that I said to my leader, I said, can somebody be sent to go and tell him that what he did was totally wrong? And even if he's doing those things, he should not cross this line. These ladies we have in church, he should not try to touch them. And my leader said, okay, who buys into what Pastor Simon is saying? And everybody just smiles, smiles, and people said no. Many people say no. No need to meet him. No need to meet him. They should just forget about him. Nobody sends the lady there. She knows that she's not supposed to go there. We have given the instruction. She took herself there. So if anybody wants to be like that, it's their own cup of tea. And I said, no, that's rubbish. We should go and talk to him. Blah, blah, blah. Well, to cut the long story short, they didn't permit me or anybody to go and talk to him. So they said we should forget about it. Then one of the leaders now said something that hurt me so much. He said, don't worry, you understand why you should not do things like this in years to come. And I said to him in outside, I said, Nang iska kawai. You are talking, they are talking, you are talking. You know, we were friends, very close friends. So his own words pained me more because we used to talk very well. After meeting, we'll go back home together. But I didn't know that at that point he was in man of God mode. So while we're going home, I just said, see what you said, blah, 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 blah. He just laughed. He didn't even reply me. Almost 3 years later, one day I sat down and I caught the reason why I should have not done that. Oh, and I called him. I said, remember those things? Those things you said that, blah, blah, blah. He thought about it, thought about it. He said, hey, yeah, I remember. I said, I just understood it today, being Friday. It happened on a Friday, yeah? He said, yes, Friday, yeah. I said, I just remember today, 3 years now, like you said. He just started laughing. Now, he didn't even say thank God. He laughed. I laughed. He said, I said it to you, but you were not here. From that day, I said to myself, even if I know, I know, I will calm down like I don't know. Should in case, I will make a mistake. That's why if I'm not sure of a doctrine, you will never hear me teach it. You know, many years ago, people told me, Pastor, do an eschatology on the rapture doctrine, the end time. I took so many years. They will be coming to me, Pastor, when will you do it? Woo! When I did it, there was bomb. Because I was so sure about certain questions I had in my heart. And when I did it, he said there's no rapture. And that's one of the reasons many people have a problem with me, even in this town. They say, I said there's no rapture. Hallelujah to Jesus. And some people didn't only say there's a rapture. Some people told us when rapture will happen. There was supposed to be one rapture in 2013, it didn't happen. There was supposed to be one rapture in 2000, it didn't happen. There's supposed to be one rapture in the COVID. I don't know why it didn't happen. They postponed it a little bit far above the COVID. It didn't happen. And they promised us another rapture, right? So we're going to be waiting for the raptures to be happening. But so I'm not trying to mock anybody. In fact, I don't hate this place. I hate this place I am now. I'm even talking about these things. But can we just have the flip side of the coin? What if we have the impetus to say, there is no rapture? Prophet, are you mad? But we've said there's rapture. Not just that we said there's rapture. We said that days. You know, there was a church in Abuja. One of our ladies, we brought her from the church. We got her. She came to school and decided to marry one of our pastors. She, in our church, when they heard our preaching, because when she said she wanted to marry, the church monitors their members. So if you have a child in the church and you want to marry, the church will go and start vetting the other church. They will go and start getting the database of the other church. So they did for our church. And they came across a certain material that said, there's no rapture. So they now went and had a meeting in Abuja and told the man that his daughter cannot marry for our church because our church don't believe in rapture. Ah, you people get what I'm trying to say? In fact, to crown it all, one time, some of the church people came to this church. So, because we were long liking the way I was preaching. That day, while we were preaching, the Holy Spirit now told me to touch rapture. I was fighting it. Then I now touched rapture again. Then the few ones that, the remnants, now say, see what they were saying. We will not come again. We will not come again. They didn't want to come. Hallelujah to Jesus. So I said to them, why not even think of what I said about rapture? Why just, you know, it's like a great sin, a mortal sin. How do they call that sin in the Orthodox? An original sin. Get what I'm trying to say? People are just saying, Pastor just said an original sin. Bam! There's no rapture. Think about why I said there's no rapture. No, nobody wants to think about it. Again, there's no rapture. Hallelujah to Jesus. I'm still shocked. Most of you are still coming to church that will say there's no rapture. Because you understand it. If I do the teaching again, people will not want to hear that part. They want to just stay where I said, there's no rapture. What is the rapture part of scriptures? We all know it, Matthew 24. What's the other one? 2 Corinthians 12. Isn't it? 2 two rapture scriptures. Matthew 24 said, just like it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in what? Hey, answer me, church. So shall it be what? You can open it. I'll finish this talk thing, whatever. But just see it. Isn't it? But as the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Next part of scripture. So now, the Lord showed me many years ago, he said the context of this scripture is not of a rapture. I said, how? Is the context is the coming of the Son of Man. Did you catch this? We are talking about the second coming. Go back to verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so also be the coming of what? That's the context of the scripture. So I want to tell you how the parousia will happen. The second coming will happen. The reign of the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. That's the context of the scripture. Remember, Matthew 24 talks about the kingdom. Somewhere in Matthew 24, he said, wars will happen, but that's not the sign of the end. He said, nation will rise against nation, but what? That's not the sign of the end. He said, kingdoms against kingdom, but he said, there won't be diseases everywhere, COVID-19. He said, but that's not the sign. You know, sometimes we're just in the storm and the chaos, and we're just shouting, ah, stop shouting. Look at what the Bible says. The word is what will last eternal, not the troubles and the chaos. Now, it didn't look like we were right in COVID. The reason why we said rapture will not happen in COVID was because of what the Bible said. Not because I had any evidence. Listen, it was truly scary in COVID. Am I saying the right thing? It was scary. But the Bible did not tell us that rapture will happen in COVID. Or corona, or what's it called? Mention all of them. Monkey virus. There's one they say monkey something. Monkey pox. Or Ebola. I heard there's a second wave of Ebola. And etc. If there's a third wave too, that's not when it will happen. And listen, if Ebola comes, Ebola cannot kill you. It's the vaccine that will kill you. Are you here tonight? The Lord give you understanding. Yes. I boldly tell you. More people who took the vaccine died. You know why they died? Listen carefully. Because they are taking the vaccine is an affirmation that they have agreed that they had coronavirus. They agreed. And they died. Even some men of God died. In the US, there are a few men of God I used to know that took the vaccine after they died. In fact, they were warning church that the church is being too spiritual. And nobody spoke, but when they took it, they died. The heart of men are desperately what? Desperately what? How many of you have seen the numbers of coronavirus patients in Nigeria? TVC News, AIT, 1 billion, 3 billion. Benue had several millions. Amalatokro Bashandeyaba. We had a house for coronavirus. I mean, now they've sold that building or something. No patient is there. All the coronavirus patients in Nigeria are nowhere to be found. The news just low key ended the news. They just stopped giving us the figure. Low key, they just said, this rubbish has to stop. They stopped. Just a good scientist, any sound scientist will know that that's rubbish. Any sound scientist will know that thing they are saying, it doesn't make any sense. So, I don't care if another virus will break out. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? It is not the sign of the end. That's what the Bible said. Listen, the Bible said that the sign of the end is this. I remember this many years ago. A dear man of God said this. He said, when the end comes, he says, Satan will not make the headlines. Satan, he will not make the headlines. Because there is no darkness at the end of the tunnel. There is light. why Jesus said wars will come. That's not the sign. This will come. That both things are not the sign. But he said, when the gospel of the kingdom is preached in all the nations of the earth, he said, then what will happen? The end will come. You can link that to 1 Corinthians 15, but many wouldn't see it. Because what is the blast of the last trumpet? The gospel. In the twinkle of an eye, you are perfect as your father. The person is changed. Because the gospel is the power of God. It is that sound that if anybody hears, they'll become new creation. It's like, I show you a mystery. Not all will die. He said, but all will be changed. What gets people changed? As we behold the glory of God in a mirror, Jesus Christ, we are being what? Transformed. So it is Jesus that transforms. It is not an angel's trumpet that transforms. That's an allegory. Meaning as the word goes forth. Little wonder, when he resurrected, he said, go into the world. Go into the world, make disciples. Meaning when we get to a location, five Christians who understand kingdom. He said, when the kingdom is preached there, he said, the earth, that part of the earth will be taken for Jesus. Listen, when Jesus was being dead, buried, and resurrected, he didn't forecast the gospel as a message that somebody can hear and have the impetus not to change. Listen to me. The gospel is not, where will you spend eternity? That's not gospel. That's bullshit. It's not gospel. You can quote me anywhere. The gospel is not preaching hell and getting people scared by hell. That's not gospel. Because if they are changed, they wouldn't even be changed. If they are scared for a moment, after 2 weeks, they will go back to their sin. The only thing that can change somebody forever is God's word. It's the gospel. Are you listening to me? Very important. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, counting not their sins against them. And he has given to us the same ministry of reconciliation. This is too good to be true for the religious Christian. Say, go and preach the gospel, but don't count sins against people. Say, what do you mean? You think what we mean is, well, no matter what you do in the flesh, does not matter. That's bullshit. That's not gospel. What the Bible is trying to make us understand is that when we get to people, we'll tell them, listen, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who God has created you to be. He said, no man in the flesh, but every man in the spirit. 2 Corinthians 5 and 16, in the Amplified rendition. He said, no man in the flesh. After Jesus resurrected, he said, begin to see every man in the spirit. See every man from the finished work of Jesus. What is the gospel? Your sins are forgiven. You are the righteousness of God. You now have the nature of God, the RNA and the DNA of God. And as he is, so are you. Now, this truth will what? Make you free. The truth will make you free. As we tell them the truth, they are free. So when this gospel of the kingdom is preached in any part of the world, an end to Satan will come in that part of the world. Are you catching what I'm trying to explain it? So the end is predicated upon a sound, the sound of the good news, the sound of the gospel. At the blast of this trumpet, an end will come to sin in Makodi. Are you here? Now, so mightily grew the word of God in the city, they will say, of Makodi, and the church prevailed. In other words, church cannot prevail unless the word prevails. Any church that God wants to prevail beyond the word of God, I joke, they'll only become one of the world systems. It must be the word before the church follows. You know, the church must make sure the word of God is number one in everything they do. Most important in everything they do. That is why the church prevailed in the city of Ephesus. Because they made sure the word of God was most important. They made sure sound doctrine was most important. Because we are beings of knowledge. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You can never be better than the information on your inside. When we speak God's word, we are making men. When we speak God's word, we're metamorphosing men. We're capacitating men. Now, dear beloved, I wish above all things, 3 John 2, that you may be in health, sound health, and prosper. Prosper, even as your soul prosper. Meaning you can never prosper beyond the prosperity of your soul. If the information in your heart is wrong, the manifestation of your life will be wrong. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's why James said, if a man is imperfect in everything, but perfect in words, he said, then his whole body is perfect. His whole body is perfect. Now give me verse 5 of James 3. Give me verse 5. Oh, glory to God. We don't speak evil reports. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Now, the tongue is very small, but the effect of the tongue is so mighty. That's what the Bible is saying here. See how great a forest and a little fire. Now, give me in the TBT rendition. The TBT. It said, and so the tongue is small part of the body, yet it carries great power. It said, just think of how a small flame can set a huge forest ablaze. Are you seeing this? Next part of scripture. Oh, glory. And the tongue is a fire. It can be compared to the sum total of wickedness, and is the most dangerous part of our human body. It corrupts the entire body and is a hellish flame. Hellish. Meaning the flame the tongue can create is hellish. No fire in this world can compare to that fire. Hellish flame. They're not saying the tongue is hell. The kind of effect. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? It releases a fire that can burn throughout the conquer, throughout the course of humanity, throughout the course of human existence, throughout the course of a flame that can burn throughout the course of human existence. Meaning that the tongue is related to fire here. If there's something happening, if you are supposed to have 3,000 tomorrow, sorry, billion, $3,000 tomorrow, are you listening? And you say, oh, hi, Satan should stop touching my money. You wouldn't have the money. Your tongue has averted that thing. Oh, you are not hearing what I'm saying. That's the kind of effect your tongue has. Hellish flame. Oh, I feel dead. You are dead, brother. Whether it's American or British English, if they are saying rubbish, watch out for that conversion. Some of you want to sound like white guys, you are saying rubbish, and that's why what has gotten you stuck in a place for a long period of time. Oh, I'm damn sick. You are damn sick, brother. Are you here? See what NKJV says, so that you understand what I'm trying to say. Give me the NKJV rendition. It says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defies the whole body and set on fire the course of nature. Meaning, if something is supposed to happen to you naturally, you have been working hard and it's supposed to produce result. If you say something wrong, that result, you'll not oversee it. See it. It sets on fire the course of nature. And is set on fire by hell. TBT calls it hellish flame. No wonder Peter said. He said, if you love your life, you are careful of the words you speak. He said that you are what? Careful. And of course, he started saying some things that were not lawful. He said, the gospel I teach you. He said, I learned it from God himself. He started telling us about the holies of holies. Realities in God. We are of the same nature with God. These are things he learned. And Paul is not saying that it was ultimate that I will never say it. He said, they are not lawful to be said. He didn't say I will never say it. Because he told us, God granted you access to the holiest of all. What again? He showed you his entire nakedness. Everything that makes him God, he has shown it to you. The Shekinah presence of God. That's what they call that presence in the Old Testament. The presence in the holiest of all. Where the priest enters once in a year. They even put chain. So in case his fear will kill him. Because God will not kill him. He may feel unqualified and die. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? Yet, the Bible said, when Jesus said it was finished, the curtain was torn into two. People from far were seeing the glory. From far, they were seeing the light in the tabernacle. That was not enough. When he now resurrected and came back, he now said, the light, forget about those lights in the tabernacle. He said, now your body are the new tabernacles. Your bodies are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Meaning God cannot be kept in a part of a building. That's a shame. God is in you. Now, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? No, I didn't say a measure. You receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You receive the fullness of God. 19 of Ephesians 3 say you are a body full in the Amplified rendition. It says you are a body full and flooded by God Himself. Say, I'm full and flooded by God Himself. But I'm not qualified. You are accepted in the beloved. Who is the beloved? Jesus Christ. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm what? In the beloved, we are all the beloved. Say, I'm the beloved of the Lord. You are accepted. Stop trying. You are accepted. What? Prophet Kuz will say, what is the opposite of acceptance? Rejection. Some of you feel rejected by your friends, your blah, 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 people's testimony about you. Jesus says you are accepted. Go home excited. You are accepted. Dress your style. You are accepted. Dress your style. You are unique. Don't follow the world. You are light of the world. So that's an adulterous gospel. Now, if you look at it at the end, what did Paul say? He said, I saw unspeakable things that were not lawful to be said. When it was done, then Anan told the preachers, I said, so you mean that was rapture? They said yes, ignorantly. They didn't think. No, listen. Paul wrote his rapture experience. Can you believe it? A man was raptured in so year. He now wrote the rapture experience was and said, I was raptured in the year 2023. I don't know if I was in the spirit or in the flesh, but I was raptured. But somehow I'm on the earth again. Is that possible? Now, you're not getting what I'm trying to say. They say what happened there was rapture. And I said, but Paul wrote about his rapture after he was raptured. You don't get what I'm trying to explain to you, do you? There is a second coming. There is no rapture. Somebody said, Pastor Simon, explain the second coming. How will it happen? Listen, you not give me that kind of headache. I've already explained the Bible. Are you listening to me? How will it happen? Second coming. It's not my business. Say, what will happen? What will happen first? I don't care. Why will I be asking? What will happen? Will angels come first with this? That's not my business. All I know is I should be teaching the word. As I'm teaching the word and people are getting changed, the end is getting closer. And listen, he's coming for a perfect church. Without spot. Spot there represents human addition. Spot or what? Or what? Nothing like that. Did you realize that what gets us full of spots sometimes and sin is because of human addition? Is that in vain they worship me because they take as doctrine the teachings of men? Paul said, I speak to them that know the law. He said, that is why the things you don't want to do, you find yourself doing. I hope you understand human addition to the work of Jesus is why most of us are really lacking in the faith today. Because instead of standing on the rock, you are on sinking sand. Christ is a solid rock. All other human idea is what? Sinking sand. So he said, I'm coming for a church without spot nor wrinkle. He now said, or anything of such, sin and etc. But the first thing Paul mentioned was spot and wrinkle. And that's the word. Designer's part of the woman's wedding gown in the culture of the Greeks. I think we get what I'm trying to say. I've done that several times. But for the people that are just joining us for the first time or here for the first time, what then happens? As the woman will enter the ceremony like their culture entails, what happens? Because of people understand that in that culture, the man does the wedding. Alone is a taboo for the woman to add to anything in that wedding. So, people will begin to appreciate the man by putting the money in the woman's designer's pocket called a spot, which is originally a wrinkle. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? Do you get what I'm trying to say? Which woman has a gown here? Anybody with a gown? Let's show them very fast. A big cloth? Nobody with a gown? Amazing. Imagine there's a pocket here. Anybody like that? You have a pocket on your dress, a lady?
Okay, you have. So watch her. According to the Greeks, the wrinkle, you are very tall so that they will see you more. The wrinkle, according to their practice, was this pocket. Are you listening? As the woman enters the ceremony, men are dropping money in that designer's pocket called a wrinkle. But listen, that wrinkle is also a spot on her dress. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And that's why the Bible says spot or wrinkle, not spot and wrinkle. Are you listening? Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Spot or, meaning you can substitute one. Remove spot, leave wrinkle. Remove wrinkle, leave spot. As she enters, they put the money. And at the end of the money, the man cannot boast alone. He can now say things like, thank you, congregant, for assisting me for a successful wedding. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But Jesus said, remember, in the book of Revelation, the second coming was likened to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Can you remember? That simply means as the bride will get into the reception. Jesus said, the only thing I don't want to find on our dress, which is us, the church, is a wrinkle or a spot. So God doesn't want this thing on our dress when we're coming, when he's coming to welcome the church. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Because at the end of the ceremony, he doesn't want anybody to say, I made the church strong by my own human idea. Are you listening to what I'm trying to say? God wants to take all the glory, that he is the reason the church is the church. Now he said, thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build. And that means the gate of hell will not what? Against the church. Now if the church are on what Jesus has done alone, the gate of hell has no chance. But if the church add to human ideas what Jesus has done, it will cause a loophole and the devil will be able to penetrate the church. Are you understanding me? What is more dangerous than Satan? Yet lies are as dangerous as Satan. Lies are the foundation of religion, all the religion in the world. Lies are the foundation, including some Christians who are religious. Lies are the foundation of every religion in the world. That's why they say crucify Jesus. It was the Pharisees that said crucify him. Lies are the foundation. My Smurro of blessed memory said religion is the greatest missile on the earth. No, not even the one Osama bin Laden had ever done. It's a religion. It's so terrible. Religion is so terrible. You think you are a Christian, you feel you are a Christian, but you are not a Christian. It will give you that feeling to be okay and comfortable as a Christian. It's like a familiar spirit. You are familiar with the things of God. You are around people that do the things of God. But you are not a Christian. You worship God with your mouth, but your what? Heart is far. Why? Because of carnal laws. Carnal laws. That is why they can stand up and tell us that there is what we call gay celibate priests today. Because they think that they can add to the church. God said, remove that pocket. I don't want any man to add. Yeah, I know you will not be excited with that. Whether it's the number 2 council of Rome or number 3, God said, I don't want anybody to add to the church. We are head of a church doesn't mean we have power to edit the word of God. Edit the word of God. We don't bless a man and a man. It's what they call the blessing of marriage. You say you not join them, you just bless the marriage. We don't bless a man and a man. We cast the demon out. If you ever see me joining, putting my hands on 2 men like this in this life, don't run and say, Pastor has changed. Come closer, you may be hearing out in the name of Jesus. Don't conclude and run and say, prophet, don't change. Just come closer. You hear, get out. Come, because you won't be the usher. Usher, hold that person. Are you hearing? Thank you. Glory to God forevermore. Are you blessed? He doesn't want human ideas. So he said the wise builder, he digs the ground and builds his house where? On a? Very important. What is the rock? Christ. We have the song. On Christ, the solid. Oh. All of the crown. So somebody tells us, doctrine does not matter. Doctrine does not matter. He is joking with his life. I started by telling you a story, but I didn't end with it, isn't it? I didn't say talk about it in the middle of the service. But here it is. When they mentioned to me atrocities happening even in our town, I told him, stop. Mama T asked me, Pastor, I heard you saying atrocities happening in one. Which people are that? I said, nobody. He said, Pastor Simon. I said, yeah, nobody. I don't know how to communicate that kind of news. I said, nobody. But I was worried when I got home that a lady said she would never go to church again. And they asked her why. She said, because she sees people on billboard who have made her pregnant. She has removed it, made some of her friends pregnant. And she said, if she sees these people lit out on the billboard, she wouldn't go to church again. And I told him, I said, keep on advising her to go to church. It's the devil's trick. No matter what, the church is your safety ground. You may have had wrong experiences with some banks. It doesn't mean that bank in its entirety is bad. Are you here tonight? So some of you hearing me? Are you listening? Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Let me end this Job teaching before I go. Job 1, 8 and 12. I told you how Job spoke, right? But see, Job 1, 8 and 12. That's the only point I didn't hit here. Then I cover my Bible. And we are gone. Are you there? Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth? A blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. Next part of scripture. Everyone read. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job... There's a reason why he fears God. Please learn from this carefully. Read in between the lines. Next part of scripture. Have you not made a what? And his what? And what? On every side. You have what? And his what? You know, this is just for the people that say God doesn't make anybody rich. But let's continue because we don't have business talking with those folks. Did you get what I'm trying to say?
Yes,
now, Job 3:25. See what happened before this. Job 3:25. For the thing I greatly feared has what? And what I dreaded has what? What is that? 26. Listen to the words of Job. I am not what? Nor am I. I have no word. For trouble comes. See the person that go back there and see what is happening. See what Job is saying. Job said, I'm not at ease. Because I'm not at ease, I'm saying wrong confessions. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I have no rest. He now prophesied that trouble is coming. Before this part of scripture, what did God tell Satan in the realm of the spirit? Go back there. James 1 and 8. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth? A blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. Next part of scripture. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Next part of scripture. Have you not made a hedge around him and his household? This is somebody that is saying trouble comes. What is Satan saying? Satan is asking God. He said, have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? Meaning even Job's chicken. The hand of the Lord was upon the chicken. You know, some of you buy chicken you want to sell for Christmas. Say, some must surely die. That's why I bought beyond the target. And so shall it happen. You somebody one time. There's so much show, but don't try to make it spiritual. I think it's Mama T. Don't try, but Simon, you understand what I say? Don't try to make me feel like I don't know. I said they will not die. She did not laugh because she understood I caught her. You can buy 20 chicken and 20 will not die. If the hand of the Lord was on the chicken of Job in the Old Testament, How much more you? No, so Pastor Simon, those chicken in the Old Testament are not in the original. The Greek word for chicken in the Old Testament are vultures. So in the context of funny, the Bible says, and around all that he has on every side. You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. You have what? God doesn't make anybody rich. He has what? And his what? Next part of scripture. This is what Satan was asking God. But see what Job was saying to God. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. But remember what Job said. Job 3:25. Hear the words of Job. This is before the encounter. Hear the words of Job. He said, for the thing I greatly feared, God was protecting this guy, yet this guy was scared. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? Has come upon me, and what I dreaded, meaning his nightmare, is that it has happened to me. Next part of scripture in 26. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. Meaning every time is, Father, protect my animals. Father, protect my children. He was not at ease. The Bible says Job gave sacrifice every day for everything the children were doing. It was out of fear. You know, you can pray out of fear. We have seen it. You know, some preachers say, give a sacrifice for everything you do, like Job. It was out of fear. Now that you know, don't give a sacrifice for everything you do. It was out of fear. When the children go out for a party, who kill a lamb? When he heard that his child went to Central Market, he's not back yet, you kill a lamb. Your grandmother will wake up in the night and be pouring water on everybody's head. God bless our grandmothers. I don't know if you have been there before. You are sleeping and they are pleading the blood on your head. I don't know if you have been there. You just open one eye, I plead the blood on it. I plead the blood. Those were wonderful days, and thank God for how God used them mightily. But a lot of time it was what? Fear. That you were even stubborn. You see, in the night, you did stubborn, but your mother called, in the name of Jesus, I declare you are not stubborn. Father, in the name, let his head be hearing word. Let his head. And that is not bad. Prophesying was not even bad. It's the fear. I plead this. Some are going everywhere. They have one water in their house. Everybody must go there and pour it on their face. I don't know if you have been there. There's one anointing at the front of your door. Before you go out, you put your hand and you do like this. And you go out. Libra handa baragadabaya. For fear. Meaning, Bible was expecting that. God was expecting that if Job understood, Job would have not been doing all of those rituals. Are you listening? If he saw what God was discussing with Satan concerning his life, even Satan was saying, is it not you that protect everything, even the chicken that cannot even touch them? Everything you protect, everything your hand is upon it. When you are there, when you are there, are you seeing that? When you are here, oh, glory to God forevermore. God's hand is in everything I do. God's hand is in everything I have. I will not speak no evil reports. Oh, go back to James. Let's end with James. Let's end with James. TBT rendition. James 3:5. Because we're going to speak some things this night before we go back home. Are you here? And so the tongue is a small part of the body, and it carries great power. Just think of how small. A flame can set a huge forest ablaze. Next part of scripture. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is a fire. The tongue is a fire. Glory to God forevermore. The tongue is a fire. It can be compared to the sum total of wickedness, and is the most dangerous part of our human body. It corrupts the entire body and is a hellish flame. It releases a fire that can burn through the course of human existence. I can never be broke in my life. Fire is going through your destiny. Remember that experience I had in Abuja? It was Friday. It was after 4. EFCC office had closed. They said I would not get my squareman certificate because they have closed. I should come back on Monday. I told the lawyer a miracle will happen. Now what happened? Wars were sent into FCC office. Angels went there, were waiting for me. I took a cab. I took a taxi. Without no money to pay the taxi. As I was going, the money to pay the taxi came as an alert. I told him, what is your account number? He sent it. I gave him the money. Reached there. They drove me first time. Wanted to go. The Lord said, but you sent words. I came back. The woman drove me again. I went out. As I prayed in the Holy Ghost. If we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray, we pray in the Spirit. One man came out, saw the way I was looking. He said, come, you look nice and you're just a wonderful person. What do you need? And I said to him, I came all the way from Makurdi for a program. I'm supposed to preach in Nasarawa, Kefi. But I want to get this thing so that I will go back to church before Sunday. I want to go back immediately after the meeting tomorrow. I don't want to stay till Sunday because the Lord had not instructed me to ever miss Sunday service yet. And when I said that, he said, I don't work in this place. So in my heart, I said, you don't work in this place. So why did you ask me the question? Guess what he said? He said, but my brother is in charge. Follow me. Favor. You know, favor is spiritual. When you are singing that song, don't be changing. No, it's spiritual. It involves angels. The ministry of angels. Are you listening to me? It involves the anointing. That anointing my head with all my cup running over. Now, it's not cup in our days. It's bank account. You know that Echo Bank account you forgot? That first bank you forgot? God is going to give you so much money, you have to think about another bank. He said, that anointing my head with oil, my cup. Fill my cup, Lord. No! Out of my belly shall flow rivers. This little light of mine. No! You are the light of the world. A city set on the hill. I was going back to the office. The woman that drove me said, I drove you. You are lying to people that you came from Benue. She was shouting so that it was the devil speaking through her. She was shouting so that they would say, I'm lying. The man did not hear. I said, madam, don't worry. Just leave it. While we're going, he said, that's how they do. Just, I hope you are not offended. I said, no, sir. I should be the one asking you if you're offended. And he said, this young man is my pastor. That's how the man introduced me. He told his brother, I'm his pastor. And he said, please help him. The man looked at me, the man in charge. He said, who are you? I said, I'm Pastor Simon Thomas. He said, you are so lucky. I said in my heart, so blessed. He said, what year did we do it? I called the year. When I checked it, our church certificate was number 3. I just opened, I said, here it is. He said, everything is so easy. This your pastor thing is strong on you. I said, yes, sir. He signed it. And we did bye-bye. Now, I broke the record. They closed by 3 o'clock. I got my certificate around 5 o'clock after 5. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? At 4:30, I was still on the road going to FCC office on a Friday. It doesn't happen. But I remember I sent a word. I said, a miracle will happen. The lawyer laughed. He said, Pastor Paul, I will not say anything. Sent words, and angels were there waiting. That man wanted to go. Something in his heart told him, look at that young man. Look at that young man. Talk to him. You know that soldier that wanted to break the bones of Jesus like the culture entails? Culture say when they die, break their bones. Culture say if they don't have this, let them not get the visa. That's what culture said. But suddenly, in your time, they reduced the cut-off mark. They just decided to reduce the cut-off mark. Now, listen, I failed the course in my 300 level. I think it was Java. It was a prerequisite, meaning I must have a spill. When I failed the course because I missed a test, something like that. I can't really remember, but I think I missed a test or something. When I heard that the course was a prerequisite, I was so angry. I said, oh God, why did I make such a mistake? I started blaming myself for missing the test or something. Then the Holy Spirit said, prophesy. They called me and said, ah, Pastor Simon, all of us that will have the potency to fail this course, we are going to spill. I said, no problem. I ended the call. I started prophesying in the name of Jesus. In my times, a miracle will be done. Believe me, in my time, they removed the course as a spill. An announcement was made on a Monday. They said, that course is no longer a prerequisite. Yeah. Why? Now somebody said, it's a coincidence. They just sat down and had a meeting. It was a coincidence. That's what they'll say. Now, I like that kind of coincidence. If it is easy, go and produce your own coincidence. I know exactly what happened, like my friend would say. We are passing under a mango tree. A mango fell. Because he said he was hungry. The mango fell. He said, Prophet Simon, nothing in this world can convince me that this mango did not fall because of me. Oh, I like that kind of faith. You can laugh. He said the mango fell because of him. I learned something that day. They changed it because of me.
Yes,
salt of the earth. That's what it means.
Yes.
Meaning if I was not there, everything would have scattered.
Yes,
don't put salt if you cook now. Don't put it. If you like, put everything. Don't put salt. You are salt of the earth. The soldier looked at Jesus. He said, culture entails that we break bones, but just leave him. He didn't consult the master. Leave Jesus. They thought they pitied Jesus. No, they did not pity Jesus. It was a prophecy said by the prophet Isaiah. He said, none of his bones shall be broken. And the soldier felt like he pitied Jesus. Now prophesy. This is how favor is coming to your life. When you send words, angels are going forth. Rabo kabala da bragadia. If you can be able to control your words, you control your whole life. He said your words are like fire you set in nature. You set on nature. Are you here, somebody? How beautiful do you want your life? How beautiful? Don't be scared. How beautiful? How glorious? How wonderful do you want your life? A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart. How wonderful. What do you want? See, forget about any fear. Say it. Take some time, begin to say it. Go ahead, somebody, and say something.
Go ahead, somebody. Say something beautiful. Is that how you will talk about your destiny? Chart your course into glory. Into glory. Don't be scared. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in Christ. I mean, we're in business now, somebody. We are in business. We are in business. We are in business. Chart your course. Parakaba. Paraka. Shapakatora. Is that how you are praying, somebody? Chart your course. Say those beautiful things. Say it. Say those magnificent things. Say those things. Say it. Say what you want to see. Abraham rejoiced to see my days and he saw. Say it with excitement. Say it. We said to see. Oh, thank you, Lord, for our ministry. We are taking the word global on a global scale to the nations of the world. Help us come for us. Help us come to the nations. Help has come to different cities. Help us come for our families. Doors of favor are open. Our brothers and sisters are born again. They are knowing the Lord. In the name of Jesus, my brother will know the Lord. In the name of Jesus, my sister will know the Lord. In the name of Jesus, My mother will know the Lord in the name of Jesus. My father, he will know the Lord in the name of Jesus. That SS is changed to AA in the name of Jesus. That AS is changed to AA in the name of Jesus. My bones are healed in the name of Jesus. My health is perfect in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody. We are talking about destiny here. We are talking about destiny. 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 Go ahead and chart your course. Rakaba sobakaya. Japakarabo sakaya. The life of my children are glorious. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Repa Santa Kaba. Go ahead, somebody. Oh, my eyes are open. I see angels around. There are plenty for us. They that are for us are plentier. They that are for us. It may seem like we are surrounded, but we are surrounded by God Himself. Oh, la takaba sharaba. The cloud of glory is gathering as you speak. The Bible says the cloud be heavy. If the cloud be heavy, it will empty itself. We are gathering clouds. We are gathering clouds. Somebody flow as the Spirit flows. Flow. Pray as the Spirit runs. Oh my God. Leba shana neka lata. Oh. Lapaka sona. Lishanatus. Boldly say. Boldly declare. He has said. So that we may boldly. 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 Boldly declare. Shaba ba ba ba. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Woo! He caused me to walk in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He restores my soul.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.